Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and today we're talking about the strategies that help you stand out, be seen, and be heard. You're watching Now Media Television.
Hey, welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. This episode is a bit different from the conversations we usually bring to this stage. Today, before we continue into the interview that was already recorded with DeShonda Charles Esquire, I want to pause and honor her life, her work, and the legacy that she leaves behind. DeShonda Charles was more than a guest on this program. She was an attorney, a leader, a mentor, a business owner, a speaker, an educator, a community advocate, and a woman whose professional authority was built through service. She brought to the legal profession a combination of preparation, clarity, presence, and purpose. And in the conversations that follow later in this episode, you will hear those qualities in her own words. Today's first two segments are presented as a posthumous tribute. They are not intended to replace her voice. They are intended to frame it with the respect it deserves. On the Authority Playbook, we often talk about what it means to build authority, not the kind of authority that comes from a title alone, and not the kind that comes from volume or visibility. Real authority is built through trust, is built through preparation, is built through credibility earned over time. It is built when someone uses knowledge, not only to advance themselves, but to guide, protect, educate, and strengthen others. By that standard, DeShonda Charles represented the kind of authority this show was created to recognize. Born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana, she went on to earn a law degree from Tulane University Law School in 2003. That alone speaks to discipline, intelligence, and focus. But a law degree is only the beginning of a legal life. What matters is what the person chooses to do with that education. For DeShonda, the answer was clear. She chose advocacy. She chose service. She chose to build a practice that touched people and families during some of the most personal, sensitive, and consequential moments of their lives. After arriving in Houston in 2005, she built a professional home in a city that would become essential to her work and her impact. Her legal career included estate planning and probate litigation, employment discrimination, family law, civil litigation, personal injury, small business counsel, and succession planning. These practice areas are different on paper, but they share something very important. Each one involves people at turning points, a family preparing for the future, a client facing a conflict, a worker seeking fairness, a business owner trying to protect what has been built, a loved one navigating grief, court processes, or legacy decisions. These are not abstract legal categories. They are human moments, and the attorney who steps into those moments must bring more than a technical knowledge. They must bring judgment, and she brought patience. She must bring structure. She brought the ability to listen before leading. DeShonda brought and understood what was behind every file in a person, a family, a fear, a future, or a responsibility that matters deeply. DeShonda Charles built her work around that kind of presence. Her firm, D. Charles Law Firm, PLLC, described itself as a law firm for your life. That phrase matters. It suggests a view of legal service that's not limited to emergencies or transactions. It points to a broader understanding of how law intersects with life, business, family, protection, succession, and legacy. It also reflects a professional identity rooted in education and prevention. The best legal guidance often happens before the crisis arrives. It helps people plan, prepare, organize, document, and protect what matters most. As CEO and managing attorney, DeShonda not only was practicing law, she was leading an organization. She was making decisions about client service, communication, professional standards, education, and community presence. That dual role matters. Attorneys who build firms must learn to be counselors and leaders all at the same time. They also must protect clients while also building systems, training teams, managing trust, and representing the values of the firm in every interaction. For women in law, and especially for Black women attorneys, that leadership carries an additional layer of significance. Visibility matters. Representation matters. Mentorship matters. When a young attorney sees someone who has built a practice, led within the bar, spoken publicly, served clients, taught colleagues, and remained connected to the community, it expands what that young attorney believes is possible. Deshandra understood that leadership is not only what you accomplish personally, it's also what your life makes possible for others to imagine. Her service to the Houston Lawyers Association is part of that legacy. The Houston Lawyers Association has a long history of supporting Black lawyers and serving the legal needs of the Black community. Deshandra served as president of that organization during the years 2012 to 2013. That role is not a ceremonial role. It is a position of responsibility, advocacy, coordination, and stewardship. It places a leader at the center of professional development, civic engagement, community service, and the ongoing work of strengthening the legal profession for those who have historically had to fight for success, access, opportunity, and recognition. And her relationship with the organization did not end with the past title. Public information reflects her continued involvement within the legal community, leadership, including section leadership, connected to solo and small firm practice. That is the meaningful because solo and small firm attorneys often carry tremendous responsibility. They serve individuals, families, entrepreneurs, and communities directly. They need mentorship, resources, and college collegial support. And along with that, examples of how to build and sustain practices within parity. When we speak about mentoring Black attorneys, we should understand that many mentorship can take many different forms. It can happen through formal programs, bar leadership, CLE presentations, community service, public example, professional encouragement, and the quiet act of being available to someone who is trying to find their way. Deshandra's career offered that kind of example, a legal professional who built, served, taught, and remained invisible. Her commitment to education also extended beyond the courtroom and beyond the office. She was known as a speaker on the estate planning, business succession, planning, entrepreneurship, and collaborative business initiatives. She presented continuing legal education, including on the use of LLCs in estate planning and probate contexts. That kind of teaching reflects a deeper professional generosity. When attorneys teach other attorneys, they strengthen the profession. They help colleagues serve clients better. They raise the standard of practice. Her community commitment also included the founding of Camp AATTIA, an organization created to inspire, enrich, and support young people in developing their talents and self-esteem with a love for STEM and STEAM education. That detail reveals something important about the range of her vision. Her legacy was not limited to legal documents, court filings, or client consultations. It reached towards young people. It reached towards confidence. It reached toward possibility. In 2023, she was named one of the 30 most influential women of Houston. Recognition like that is not only about professional services. It acknowledges public impact, leadership, service, and the way a person contributes to the life of the city. It reminds us that authority is measured only by what someone knows. It is measured by how that knowledge is used, who benefits from it, and what remains because of it. Today, we honor Deshandra Charles as we also honor the path she represented. Education turned into advocacy, advocacy turned into leadership, leadership into mentorship, and mentorship turned into legacy. In a moment, we will continue to explore that legacy through her professional work and her service as a legal leader. But before we move forward, I want to leave viewers with this thought. Sometimes the deepest measure of authority is not how loudly a person speaks, it is how people feel guided, protected, strengthened and seen because that person chose to serve. That is the spirit in which we remember Deshanta Charles today. As we go to break, we remember that Deshanta Charles did not build authority in only one room. She built it in the classrooms, courtrooms, boardrooms, bar association spaces, community programs, client conversations, and mentorship moments that may never appear on a resume, but still shape life. When we come back, we will focus on her professional legacy, the practice that she built, the families and business owners that she served, her leadership with the Houston Lawyers Association, and the enduring lesson that legal authority is ultimately about helping people protect what matters most. We'll be right back with more The Authority Playbook after these important messages.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is The Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Hey, welcome back to The Authority Playbook. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or on iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and law to leadership, lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to The Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. Today, we are honoring the memory of, and legacy of Deshanta Charles, whose interview for later segments of this episode was recorded before her passing. These opening segments are offered with respect, gratitude, and care. They are meant to give viewers context for the life, leadership, and professional service behind the voice you will hear shortly in the recordings and the conversations that follow. In this first segment, we reflected on her formation, New Orleans, roots, Tulane University, her law school, a move to Houston, the building of Charles Law Firm, PLLC, her public leadership, and her commitment to the community. Now return to a professional legacy, the way she practiced law, the people she served, an example that will be that she leaves for attorneys, clients, families, and other business owners. The legal profession often measures success through credentials, years of experience, jurisdiction, practice areas, cases, and leadership roles. Deshanta, she had all those. She was licensed in multiple states, including Texas, Louisiana, New York, and Connecticut. She was admitted before federal courts, including the Southern District Court of Texas, the Northern District Court of Texas, and the United States Supreme Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. She practiced in areas that required both legal skill and human sensitivity, estate planning, probate litigation, employment disputes, family law, civil litigation, personal injury, small business counsel, and succession planning. But when a life ends, the question becomes a larger than what the credentials were. We ask, what did she stand for? Who did she help? What did she teach? What examples remains? What responsibility does her legacy place on those who continue the work? For Deshanta, one of the answers is clear. She helped people think about protection before crisis. Estate planning and probate work sit at the intersection of war, family, money, grief, responsibility, and legacy. These are not easy conversations, folks. Many people avoid them because they require us to face uncomfortable truths. What happens if I am no longer here? Who is prepared to make decisions? Are my wishes clear? Are my loved ones protected? Have I built a structure that reduces confusion? Or have I left questions that may become complex? Attorneys who practice in this space do more than draft documents. They help families name what matters. They translate fear into structure. They help business owners align growth with protection. They guide clients through wills, trusts, probate, succession planning, and difficult conversations that many people delay until the delay itself becomes costly. Deshanta's professional voice around estate planning emphasized clarity, structure, foresight, and confidence. Public posts and professional profiles associated with her work repeatedly return to themes like planning ahead, legacy planning, protection, business succession, and the importance of matching legal strategy to the stage of life or a business a person has reached. That is a message every professional and every family can learn from. In business, growth often creates a new exposure. A company may expand revenue, add team members, acquire property, create intellectual property, or accumulate more assets. But the legal protection does not grow with the business. Success itself can become vulnerable. All structures, no clear succession plan, no contingency plan, and no trust strategy can leave families and companies exposed. Deshandra taught and spoke in that space, including education for attorneys and estate planning and professionals on how LLCs may be used in estate planning and probate contexts when handled properly. That is the kind of legal education that strengthens more than one client relationship. It strengthens the profession. It helps other attorneys ask better questions, design better plans, and serve families with greater precision. Her leadership through the Houston Lawyers Association is another essential part of the legacy. The HLA exists within a historical tradition of advocacy, professional development, and service for Black lawyers and the Black community. Serving as president of that organization is both an honor and a responsibility. It means helping to carry forward a lineage of lawyers who understood that the law is not merely a profession, it is a vehicle for access, representation, justice, education, and community strength. When we remember Deshandra as the past president of the Houston Lawyers Association, we are not simply naming a position. We are recognizing that she contributed to an institution that helps attorneys find professional support, mentorship, and a stronger collective voice that matters especially for Black attorneys who have often had to navigate professional spaces where mentorship, access, and opportunity was not equally distributed. To mentor Black attorneys is to do more than offer advice. It is to affirm possibility. It is to share what the profession does, not always teach openly. It is to say, I have walked part of this road. I will not make you walk it alone. It is to create pathways where isolation might otherwise exist. It is to help attorneys build not only competence, but confidence, community, and resiliency. That kind of mentorship can happen from a podium, through a bar association, in a CLE, or a hallway conversation, in a phone call after a difficult day, or simply through visible example of a woman who built a firm, served clients, educated peers, led organizations, and remained active in the community life. Deshandra's example spoke in all of those ways. Her work also reminds us that authority and service are not opposites. In fact, the highest form of authority may be service practiced consistently over time. The attorney who helps a family avoid unnecessary conflict is serving. The attorney who helps a business owner protect what has been built is serving. The attorney who teaches colleagues is serving. The bar leader who helps create space for younger lawyers is serving. The community advocate who invests in young people is serving. And that service is part of why a recorded conversation matters. In segments 3 and 4 of this show, viewers will hear Deshandra Charles in her own voice. They will hear her perspective on law, leadership, estate planning, probate, and protecting what matters most. Because those segments were recorded before her passing, we approach them now with a different sense of weight. What might have been a standard interview has now become part of her preserved public legacy. And that requires us to listen differently, not with sadness alone, although grief is present, not with formality alone, although respect is necessary. We listen with gratitude. We listen for lessons. We listen for principles that continue. We listen for the professional wisdom that still serves families, business owners, and attorneys who are asking how to lead with greater clarity. There is a phrase often used in estate planning, protect what matters most. For Deshandra, that phrase seems especially fitting. She helped people protect families, wishes, their assets, their businesses, and their futures. But her own life, she also protected something broader, the idea that law should be connected to education, dignity, access, preparation, and community. Today, as we move forward toward the recorded interview, I want to offer a few reflections for the viewers. First, if you are building a professional authority, remember that your legacy is being created while you are working. It's not only created at the end. Every client conversation, every mentee you encourage, every standard you uphold, and every room you help open for someone else becomes part of that legacy. Second, you are a business owner or a family leader. Do not delay the conversations that protect the people who you love. Planning is not pessimism. It is care. It is stewardship. It is the way that we reduce confusion for those who may one day have to make decisions in our absence. Third, if you are an attorney watching this, especially a young Black attorney, understand that your presence matters. Your work matters. Your voice matters. The profession needs your excellence, but it also needs your humanity, your courage, and your mentorship, along with your willingness to carry forward the work that those who came before you. And finally, if you knew Deshandra, worked with her, learned from her, or were guided by her, may this episode serve as a moment of remembrance. May it honor not only what she accomplished, but the people she touched and the example she leaves behind her. Deshandra Charles Esquire lived a professional life marked by advocacy, education, leadership, and service. She helped clients plan ahead. She helped families navigate uncertainty. She helped attorneys learn. She helped organizations lead. She helped communities see what strong legal leadership can look like. And now, as we continue into the recorded portions of this episode, we do so with gratitude for her time, her voice, her insight, and her legacy. This is the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and when we return in the next portion of the program, you will hear directly from Deshandra Charles in a conversation about law, leadership, estate planning, and protecting what matters most.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. I help business leaders turn presentations, conversations, and communication into decisions that drive revenue. Because authority isn't built on expertise alone. It's built by how you think, how you communicate, and how you lead. And that's the foundation of this show. Each episode, we sit down with the leaders, professionals, and experts who have built authority through knowledge, experience, discipline, and service, not just talk about what they do, but to uncover how they think, lead, solve problems, and how they create lasting impact. Today, we're talking about law, leadership, advocacy, and what it means to guide clients through some of the most important decisions and difficult moments of their lives. Joining me today is Deshandra Charles, Esquire, President, CEO, and Managing Attorney. With more than 19 years of legal experience, she helps individuals, families, and organizations navigate estate planning, probate, employment law, family law, and civil litigation. Licensed in Texas, Louisiana, New York, and Connecticut, she has built a reputation for guiding clients through the complex legal matters with clarity, confidence, and compassion. Deshandra, welcome to the Authority Playbook.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And before we unpack this masterclass on law, leadership, and advocacy, download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS to stream on our elite corporate lineup live or on demand. You can also listen on the move by visiting our podcast network at www.nowmedia.tv. And as we begin this segment, ask yourself this: what is your next breakthrough? Isn't just another strategy, but one conversation with the right person at the right time. And that's exactly why this show exists. So, Deshandra, what first inspired you to pursue a career in law, if you don't mind me asking?
Of course not. Interesting trajectory for me, but It's a two-part answer. I'll say, naturally, I am very inquisitive. I've always been that way. And while I was in elementary school, I had a fourth grade teacher who saw something in me. She recognized that as I matriculated, you know, through school and made friends, I always needed information. I needed to know why we were talking about a certain topic, why we weren't talking about a certain topic. And she introduced me to the idea of a career in law. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know what lawyers did. But because she saw that I was so inquisitive and so insistent on information gathering and fact gathering, she introduced me to the idea of law. And the second part to that answer is being a child of the 80s. I grew up on The Cosby Show, so I wanted to be Claire Huxtable, if for no other reason, just to wear a briefcase. I didn't even know what was in the briefcase, but she seemed so classy, so well put together, and I learned that, you know, she was an attorney and everything, so I wanted to do what she did.
That's awesome. I remember The Cosby Show growing up as well, and I think that's the foundation for so many of us, and for those of us who remember those shows, for sure.
Right.
And I think it's great that, you know, fourth grade, you actually knew what you were doing. I don't think I figured out what I wanted to be or do until, I don't know, college.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do feel very fortunate in that, that case, that situation.
And then, as I always like to phrase it, that even today I try to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
We're always trying to figure that out.
So, Deshandra, you grew up in New Orleans. How did growing up there shape your perspective on advocacy, justice, and service?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Advocacy, justice, and service. I'll start by saying the service piece. Growing up in New Orleans was like growing up in a tight-knit village. I grew up in the inner city, so I was very close to the French Quarter. When I was growing up, we could walk everywhere. You know, it was a very friendly city. Everyone took care of one another. You knew your neighbors. They looked out for you. I could barely walk a mile without, you know, someone identifying I was walking that mile and calling back to my parents, letting them know that they saw me on the route. But it became very communal. And you learned to just do acts of service for everyone else in need, and not really looking for somebody to do something for you, but learning very early that the more you opened yourself up and helped out, it would come back to you. So I would say growing up in New Orleans, having that village instilled that piece in me. And the advocacy piece was, it was very independent. As a young person, like I said, it was a very walkable city. So, you know, we would walk everywhere, and you had to learn pretty quickly how to navigate the city. Makes you very independent, makes you learn how to speak up for yourself or ask for help when you needed it. So I had no problem doing that for me and had no problem doing that for my friends. And I would venture to guess, now that I'm answering this question, I am a middle child. And so I'm sure my big sister had something to do with my incentive to advocate for myself so that I wasn't overlooked very often. But I think that just having that sense of belonging to a community and knowing that you have a role to play helped define or shape how I saw advocacy and justice and service to others.
That's awesome. I have a niece that's went to law school, and I imagine you won a lot of your disputes or your arguments with your siblings or even sometimes with your parents.
Right. Absolutely.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I had a reputation for basically being a corrector, so to speak. Every time, like I said, I always wanted information, always wanted to have facts. And so it didn't matter if it was my parents, their friends, my aunts and uncles. I was quick to correct someone if I knew they were wrong or if I sensed they were wrong. So I won a lot of arguments, but I didn't make a lot of friends that way. So I had to learn how to manage that.
Speaking about, you know, friends and growing up, and if don't mind me asking, growing up as a woman practicing law, especially in years ago, did you find that as more of a challenge than breaking into more of a man's occupation?
I did, and I did. That was my experience. It could have been different, but I think it happened that way because of who I sought out for help, right? So when I started law school, I didn't know any lawyers. But as I befriended, you know, lawyers and wanted to understand, okay, well, how do I shape my career? Then I had a lot of men mentors. Just because, right? So it wasn't intentional, but I did have a lot of male mentors. And so I was in their spaces. I didn't have a lot of female mentors to be in those spaces. But yes, it was very challenging because for two reasons, I would say. I looked pretty young. I didn't have a very mature look. And so it was hard for clients and colleagues to look at me as equal. So they've, you know, would revert to, you know, calling me girl or something like that, as opposed to, you know, Miss Charles, or referring to me as a colleague, often unintentionally. Staff in other law offices would think I was the paralegal, again, because I didn't have a very dry, hard look, you know, as to whatever they perceived an attorney, a female attorney, looked like. But for the most part, it is what it is. And that would all be dispelled once we started talking. So after, some introductions and whatever the business at hand was, we would start talking. And then, the fact that I was the attorney in the room or representing my client would come out, and we would just be able to move forward.
Sure. So a question before we take our break here. When you look back at the attorney you were when you first started law back in 2005, and you look at the leader you are today, when you look at yourself, what's changed the most in the way not only you think, but how you actually work with your clients?
I think what's changed most is the empathy. When I, as a young lawyer, I was so inexperienced in life. And I remember a couple moments in particular when it began to dawn on me that, you know, you can't practice law in a bubble. You can't serve people truly to effective solutions in a bubble, like from a truly textbook perspective. And so as I matured and grew and developed empathy for some of the situations that I was being presented with to help clients, I am light years different. I was so textbook. Everything was black and white. I wanted it to fit neatly into, you know, what the law said, what the statute said, what the case law said, and really struggled with nuance. And as I grew and met more people and represented more challenging issues, I became very empathetic to, you know, just how life happens. And you know, whether we want it to or not, we still have to navigate it. We still have to find solutions for the problems that present themselves. And I look back at how that empathy allowed me to meet so many people and serve so many different kinds of people. And some of those people you hold on to, and some of those people open doors for you. And so I look back at the young lawyer that I was. I want to say sometimes, relax. to that person. But I would think that's one of the biggest differences.
Yeah, I think we always like to turn back the clock and kind of go, gee, I wish I knew that 20 years ago. I'd be so much better off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing your journey and the philosophy that's guided your career. It's clear that your approach to practicing law goes far beyond legal expertise. It's rooted in leadership, service, and helping people navigate uncertainty with confidence. When we come back, we'll shift our focus to estate planning and probate, and why so many families put it off, the risks of waiting too long, and the steps everyone should take to be to protect the people and their legacy that they care about. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more on the Authority Playbook.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Stay connected with the Authority Playbook and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and war to leadership, lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, joined by Deshandra Charles, President, CEO, and Managing Attorney. In this segment, we're going to focus on estate planning and probate. Estate planning is something many families delay because it feels uncomfortable, it's complicated, or simply just not a high priority, not urgent. But without a plan, loved ones can be left navigating confusion, conflict, costly legal proceedings, and unnecessary stress during one of the life's most difficult moments. For nearly two decades, Deshandra has helped families prepare for those moments and navigate the legal decisions that follow. Let's continue this conversation. Deshandra, why do so many people delay estate planning?
That's a good question. Primarily, it's because they're feeling overwhelmed. I see, you know, families delay estate planning because they're looking for the opportunity to gather all of the information that they've been told they need, right? So they've Googled estate planning, and now they've got this massive list of documents that they need to collect. And so it delays the process. Sometimes they also think about, waiting for the perfect time to plan. They want it to be ceremonious as they start the process. And so, that creates a little bit of delay. And so I've seen many, many reasons why people delay the process. They feel overwhelmed. They're fearful about what estate planning means. A lot of us don't want to acknowledge our mortality, even though we know it exists. As they say, two things are for sure, taxes and death. But
that's for sure.
Absolutely. But for the most part, I find that families are either overwhelmed by the idea of estate planning, or they're looking for the perfect time. When life slows down, I'm going to have the perfect day. Sunday afternoon, I'm going to sit at the table and complete 22 documents all at one time. And so I just find that there, those are some of the reasons why families delay estate planning.
Is there an ideal age where someone should be considering it sooner? I know we don't know when our expiration dates are, but is there a recommended date or age that we should begin to really get our estate in order?
Absolutely. I would say as soon as you hit 18, if your parents haven't already, given you somewhat of a playbook to get it started, I would say immediately. I mean, at your first job even. So it could potentially be sooner. It's just that you can't contract before you're 18. And so an estate plan is essentially contracting with yourself. But as soon as you start living life, I do want to point out to the audience that estate planning isn't about planning for death. It's about planning all the wonderful things you're going to experience in life. And it starts right away. And you want to protect it. And there's no point in time that's too early for an adult to begin planning their estate. So I would say as soon as possible.
Great answer. I love that. So let's take this on to the other spectrum, Deshandra. What happens when someone passes away without the proper planning? I think a lot of people don't know what they're in for.
And you're right. A lot of chaos. So you get two schools of thought, right? Some people think, oh, I'm not going to plan anything and everyone knows what I want to have happen and that's what'll happen. And then you just, you have some other families who figure they'll figure it out. And so a lot of chaos ensues when someone dies without a plan and has assets, that desired assets, has a legacy, a desired legacy for their heirs and beneficiaries. So one of the worst things that could happen is the loss of control, right? So you've got somebody who has amassed a really good life for themselves. Their legacy is something that they really do want to pass on, but they haven't planned for it. And the family or loved ones that they leave behind all have different ideas about what that person wanted to see happen. And so you get a little bit of conflict in trying to figure out who should be in charge, who should direct what happens. Because when you die without a plan, it's considered intestacy. So you're the state that you live in, their laws are going to control what happens to your assets if you die without an estate plan. And when that happens, your assets may go to individuals or creditors that you don't intend. You lose control of the opportunity to direct where your assets go. So you can only imagine the kind of chaos that ensues, the kind of losses that may befall your loved ones and families who survive you. So having a plan is pretty important, but when you don't, you really just have no control over what happens.
So if we talk about, you just mentioned probate, you don't have a plan. Now, does probate happen and does that get fixed in 2 weeks, or does it take, sometimes 3 years or more to come out of probate? Or do we give us paint that rest of the picture for our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have, pop culture that has informed some of us about how long estates can be open before matters are settled and assets are distributed. I know James Brown had a ridiculously long probate settlement period, but it depends so there are levels to estate planning and probate. So I don't want to leave the viewers with the idea that if you do plan, you can plan lightly, you can plan robustly, you can have a complex plan. But even if your family has to go through probate, depending on how much planning you've done, you could be looking at something like less than a year, right? And even though that sounds like a long time, you've at least given them a framework to settle your estate more quickly. But if you don't plan and you have to go through probate, or if the planning is done poorly and you have to go through probate, meaning you didn't provide for everything, or you left the door open for someone to challenge your estate plan, probate can last years and it can deplete your assets. It can, cause the beneficiaries, the people you intend to benefit from all of the work that you did while you were alive and all of the good work and legacy that you've built up while you're alive, it can cause them to deplete those funds and those assets, fighting over who should be in control of them.
And that's how you wind up with family strife, family grief, what people not talking to each other at the end of the day, all because we didn't do the proper preparation. I'm sure you've seen that happen a
Absolutely.
few times.
Yeah, I have. It's pretty sad. And what's even worse is when you can't really reach the family. You talk to them, you let them know, hey, there's a really good strategy for preventing some of the conflict, that could come about at your loved one's death. And you just can't, they're not motivated to act. They're not motivated to act, and What you saw coming down the pike comes anyway, and you know, you're just now you're sitting in the muck of family conflict and losing a lot of assets to attorneys and the courts. You know, so the beneficiaries don't really benefit from their ancestors' assets.
That's unfortunate, which kind of leads us into, I think, my last question for you. If you could leave our audience with one page from your authority playbook lesson, or one lesson, one principle, or a piece of advice that has served you well throughout your career, what would that be?
My page from my authority playbook that I will leave your audience with is seek mentorship. Always, you know, and be inspired to learn. Never stop learning, and remember that you don't have to do it alone. Sometimes we feel like it's, you know, a lonely place at the top, but success is rarely achieved by yourself in a bubble. And I think that has served me well. Unintended mentors, seeking out mentors because I thought that their careers were dynamic or that their approach to achievement and success was dynamic, and I really wanted to learn from them. That has served me well. So I think just being a lifetime learner, which naturally helps you to grow, is a page from my authority playbook that I would offer the audience and just underscore you don't have to do it alone.
I think that's awesome advice. Thank you for sharing that. Chandra, for viewers who would like to learn more about you, your firm, your legal services, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear from some of the viewers. You can obviously reach out to my office. You could give us a call. We're based in Houston, Texas, 713-993-7310. Or more excitingly, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at D Charles Law. And we'd love to hear from you.
Chandra, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and helping us better understand why estate planning is about so much more than just legal documents. It's about protecting the people you love and ensuring your wishes are honored when they matter the most. Today, we explored why so many people delay estate planning and misconceptions surrounding wills, trusts, and probate, and the real consequences of waiting too long. More importantly, we learned that taking action today can provide clarity, reduce conflict, and bring peace of mind for the future. And to everyone watching, remember this: authority isn't built on expertise alone. It is built by how you think, how you communicate, and how you lead. Sometimes the most important decisions we make aren't just for ourselves, they're for the people who depend upon us. Thank you for joining us on the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and be sure to tune in each week as we sit down with leaders, professionals, and experts who share the insights, strategies, and experiences behind the authority they have earned. Until next time, I'm Jeff Brandeis, and thanks for watching the Authority Playbook. Take care.